Preachers, pray for me tonight while I'm preaching. I'm very nervous. I have a message the Lord has laid on my heart. And I just want to preach what's on my heart. I want Roger to get out of the picture. I want the Holy Spirit to work tonight in our hearts.
Amen.
Work in the hearts of us that are saved by the grace of God. And for you that are lost here tonight, I want you to pay the utmost attention to the message that we have tonight that we want to preach. We wrestle around with three or four different messages, and we feel definitely that this is a message the Lord would have us to preach. I don't want to get in a hurry, but at the same time, I don't want to keep you all night either. But in the book of John, chapter 9, I'm thankful tonight that I have Jesus as my refuge.
Amen.
Times of troubles and times of heartaches, we can just rest in Him and just go to Him. We want to look at verse 13 of John chapter 9. Have a little lengthy reading here. We'd like to read from 13 to verse 41. We want to preach tonight on God heareth sinners. God heareth sinners. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. I want you to notice who they brought him to. Brought him to the Pharisees. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, of the Pharisees now, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. And these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? We also be his disciples. Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that we know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Now notice that. Now we, the Pharisees, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. God heareth sinners. Did God hear you? Did God hear you? I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life when Jesus Christ heard me. And you're here tonight and you're lost without Jesus Christ as your Savior. I pray tonight that you will be able to hear for the first time in your life the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to heal the blind. He came to unstuff the ears of those that have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust tonight that this will be the time that you will hear the Lord Jesus Christ speak to you for the first time. You know, God, in the Word of God, we see that He heard many sinners, and we want to mention several of those sinners that the Lord heard. You know, there in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, chapter 21, we'd like to turn back there and read a verse there in chapter 21 and verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. And so we see here that God heard the cry of Ishmael. He also heard the groanings of the children of Israel there in Egypt, long before he even had redeemed them. And then we see also that he heard the answered prayer of the wicked Manasseh there in 2 Chronicles. And we don't have time to go into all those scriptures, but we have several other scriptures we want to refer to here tonight. But in our reading here in the book of John, we see in verse 24, I believe this is the key to understanding this verse here, where he said, The Pharisees said, We know that this man is a sinner. You know, this was a pet doctrine of the Pharisees. But I want to proclaim tonight that God does hear sinners. God does hear sinners. And one of the first ones we want to mention tonight here in the New Testament is the Gadarene. in the book of Luke chapter 8. In the book of Luke chapter 8. We want to look at verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man. You know, the Lord deals with certain people. He deals with people individually. He deals with people individually. He deals with people personally. And every one of these we want to mention tonight. We want to notice that God dealt with them in a particular way. And so he says, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. Jesus Christ one day came to Vandercook Lake. And there was a certain man in Vandercook Lake near Jackson, Michigan, one Sunday afternoon that he sought out and he saved by the grace of God. I was that certain man. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out. When he saw Jesus, he cried out. And that was the first time that I had cried out to Jesus. I had prayed many a times. I had gone to church. I had walked the aisle. I had knelt in altars. But that was for the first time in my life, I did exactly like this Gadarean did. I went forward. I knelt in that altar. And for the first time in my life, I cried out to Jesus. And he saw Jesus. And that's for the first time in my life, I saw Jesus by the eye of faith. And he fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus?" And that's what was missing in my life all of these years. In all of the professions that I had made, Jesus was missing. I had never saw Jesus as I saw Him that day when I was saved by the grace of God. Some of you may be able to relate to that. "Jesus, thou Son of God Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them." See, why would Jesus want to destroy somebody else's animals or property or whatever? Listen, Jesus does what he wants to. And what he wants to. And how he wants to. And to whom he wants to. And we have no reason to question it. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran vehemently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done. And came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Clothed. And in his right mind. Now who's the insane ones? And they were afraid. You know, I believe that's exactly what happens to every person that is saved by the grace of God. You'll find them, after they've been saved, you'll find them sitting at the feet of Jesus. You say, yeah, but I wasn't insane, I wasn't crazy. I'll tell you what, I was as crazy as I could be. I didn't hang out in the cemetery, but I hung out in a lot of worse other places than a cemetery. I was just as bad. I was dead in trespasses and in sins. And when the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, I was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Well, I tell you what, I never wanted to go back to church. Once a year was enough. But you know, after the Lord saved me, I wanted to go back to church that Sunday night. And Wednesday come around, I wanted to go back Wednesday night. Yeah. Sunday come around, I wanted to go back to church Sunday.
Yeah.
I wanted to learn more about Jesus.
Amen.
And so here he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was clothed. And before I was saved, before Jesus Christ came into my life, I ran around half naked all the time. I went home, immediately. I went home, grabbed my bathing suits, grabbed my tank tops, grabbed all that stuff, took it out in the trash can, deck of cards, threw it all in, burned it up. That scripture, old things were passed away, and behold, all things become new. That's exactly what took place in my life, and nobody had to tell me to do it. When the Lord changed me, He changed me. He removed old things were passed away. I no longer wanted to run around in a bar. I changed my hitching post. Immediately. Clothed and in his right mind. You don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you're not in your right mind. Jesus is the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. To have a personal experience of the grace of God in your life and Jesus Christ living in you is the greatest thing that can ever happen to you in your life. And I have Jesus Christ living in me.
Amen.
It's Jesus that liveth in you.
Yeah.
He actually lives in you.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, every step you take, Jesus Christ is living in you. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
There's nothing greater than to have Jesus Christ living in your life, controlling your life, leading and guiding and directing your life. There's nothing greater that can happen to you.
Amen.
Nothing greater. You say, I'll tell you what, Brother Jones, I'm having a good time with my life just exactly the way it is. Let me tell you something. All of those experiences you're having right now, they're just temporary.
Amen.
This that I have inside of me is permanent. This joy that I have and this rejoicing that I have in my heart tonight, this is forever.
Amen.
And so we see that God heard this Gadarene as he cried out to him. And I plead with you tonight, you're here and lost without Jesus Christ as your Savior. I pray that you'll consider crying out to Jesus tonight more serious than you have ever been about. Because your eternal destiny depends on whether you call on Jesus or not. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And every one of these sinners that we're referring to tonight, every single one of them called on the name of the Lord.
So he ends up being the sanest one of them all. And then he goes and he goes back home and he tells everybody what Jesus Christ had done for him. You know, I believe that's just as natural as can be. For a person that has been saved by the grace of God to go tell somebody else. First thing I did when I went home, after the Lord saved me, I first of all got on the phone, called my mother, and told my mother what had happened to my life. That the Lord Jesus Christ saved my life, saved my soul, and saved my life when I joined a New Testament Baptist church and was scripturally baptized. But I called her and told her what Jesus Christ had done to my life and in my life. Then I called my grandmother way down in Greenville, Illinois, and told her what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for me. I went to work that Monday morning and told the guys at the shop what had happened to me. And they all about fainted. And then about a week or two later, preacher's preaching told me and told me I'd take my Bible everywhere I went, you know. So I started taking my Bible, walked in the factory, walked right down the middle of the aisle back to where I was working, had my Bible in my hand. And man, they looked at me like I was plumb crazy, you know. But that was in my heart. God had put that in my heart to want to talk to others. And then when I started talking to them about being saved, now they knew I'd flip, you know, I'd become a fanatic right away. Then about a year later, I came and told them that I was called to preach. And then they thought for sure that I'd cracked up. But here, 25 years later, and by the grace of God, we're still preaching. So God heard this Gadarean. We see also in the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. You all are familiar with the story here of Philip and the eunuch, but we want to read it again here. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, now notice this. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. The Lord said, arise and go. And Philip arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said, now notice this, and then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip, and Philip ran thither to him. Boy, I'll tell you what, we need some of that enthusiasm about preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those that are lost and dead in trespasses and in sin. We need a burden today more than we ever have for those that are lost without Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Philip ran thither and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. There come a time in my life when I desired somebody to come and talk to me about Jesus. I wanted to hear about the gospel. I wanted to know how to be saved by the grace of God. I knew I was lost. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was on my way to hell. And I knew that if I died in the condition that I was in, that I would split hell wide open. And there come a time and a moment in my life when I wanted somebody to tell me about Jesus. And there's people every day that you rub shoulders with that desire the very same thing. They desire somebody to talk to them and tell them about Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so, he dies. They desired that he would come up and sit with him and talk to him about the Lord. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. Listen, sinner friend. Jesus Christ voluntarily went to the cross of Calvary and bled and suffered and died there on the cross of Calvary in your stead. And never one time did he open his mouth. He willingly died there on the cross of Calvary that you might be saved tonight. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare that his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and showed a movie about Jesus. Huh? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Listen, sinner friend, if you're ever saved, you will be saved because of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not be brought to a saving knowledge by a singing or by preach or by a movie or by puppets or by anything else. You say, listen, Brother Jones, that's something of the past. No, it's not. People are still trying to use these things to get people to come to Christ, and they'll never work. Listen, you can get professions. We want somebody today that's going to possess something. And the only way that they're going to possess Jesus Christ is to preach about Jesus, because they don't know anything about Jesus. Amen. And y'all challenge you tonight, run the reference of preaching and preacher and preaching, preaching all the way through the New Testament. Time after time after time. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Why did he believe? He believed because he heard the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he sprinkled him. No. No. And he baptized him. He immersed him. Picturing the very thing that saved his soul, picturing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in turn, this fellow turns around and preaches the gospel himself in picture, in baptism. So we see that the Lord heard this Gadarean. He heard this Ethiopian eunuch. And then in the Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. I want you to notice when the Lord heard Paul. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense. which I make unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. I believe the Apostle Paul knew a whole lot about the total depravity of man. And I believe he was bringing out his total depravity right here. Listen, sinner friend, your whole head is sick. Your heart is deceitful. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Your mouth is full of cursing. Your eyes are never satisfied. And on we could go with that. But we see here the Apostle Paul's lost and undone condition. And he said in verse 5, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus. Listen, I believe the Apostle Paul knew where he was saved, when he was saved, how he was saved, and why he was saved. I believe you can know that. I want you all to stop just for a moment. I want you all to go back to where you were saved. Are you all there? Where were you saved? The Apostle Paul was saved. Look, he noticed here. And it came to pass as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus. He was nigh unto Damascus. I believe that's where he was saved. And come nigh to Damascus about noon. About noon. That's when he was saved. I was saved on the east side of Jackson, Michigan. And it was about 10 minutes after 12. When I was saved. About what time was it when you were saved? I believe these are special moments in every person's life that is saved by the grace of God. And suddenly, there's shone from heaven a great light, not a round, but round about me. There was no way that the Apostle Paul could get away from the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. There comes a time when all the resistance is broken down. You say you resist? Sure, I resisted. You did too. But there come a time in your life when all that resistance was broken down, and when that resistance was broken down, you humbly came before the Lord, you bowed before the Lord, or you laid in your bed, or wherever you were, and you were able to call on the name of the Lord, and the Lord graciously and mercifully saved your soul. Amen. 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 The way it was? But there come that time when you said, boy, I can't go any further. I had tried everything humanly possible to straighten up my life. I mean everything. I had gone to church. That didn't work. Went to Alcoholic Anonymous. That worked for a while. But when I came to Jesus, when he came to me, dealt with me, showed me I was lost, showed me I needed to be saved, and that he was the way, that was it. And then I finally had a permanent cure. That was one of the first things the Lord showed me after I was saved. By the grace of God, I got to reading over there in the book of Ephesians. And I was His workmanship. When He done the work, did the work in my life, that was it. Hadn't touched a bottle, a drink since. Isn't that the way it works? Now, notice here as we go on. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? He received Him as His Lord then. It wasn't 6 months down the road. It wasn't a year down the road. It wasn't 2 years down the road that He became His Lord. He became His Lord the very moment He was saved by the grace of God. He received Him as His Savior, and He received Him as His Lord of His life. Amen. Then down in verse 15, For thou shalt be His witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. That's why He was saved.
Amen.
He was saved to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and of what had been done in His life. Back here in the book of Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Let us notice verse 6. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And he trembling and astonished. Are you trembling? Are you trembling tonight, sinner friend? Are you astonished tonight? Are you troubled over your lost and undone condition? Tell you what, we're living in a day today when very few people are troubled over being lost. Very few today that's trembling over being lost. Listen, sinner friend, the wrath of God is abiding upon you every step you take. You could go out into eternity that quick. It may be tonight. It may be in the morning. It may be tomorrow. It may be next week. It may be next month. But one of these days, you're going to leave this old world, and you don't know when you're going to leave. And so the wisest thing for you to do tonight is to prepare to meet thy God. You don't have a promise of another day. You don't have a promise of a year. You don't have a promise of a month. You don't have a promise of another week. You don't have a promise of another moment. The only thing that you've got is right now.
Amen.
You don't even have the promise of another invitation.
Amen.
The only thing you've got is right now.
Amen.
In verse 4, he said, he fell to the earth. And I heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Tonight, do you hear Him calling your name? We'd like to look at the book of Luke. Notice another sinner here that God heard. In the book of Luke, chapter 19. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came, now notice this. When Jesus came to the place, let me tell you something. Jesus was just as much concerned or more concerned to see Zacchaeus as Zacchaeus was to see him. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. You know, the Lord said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, I'll tell you what, Brother Jones, I'm just going to keep on hiding. I'm just going to keep on dodging the Lord. Tell you what, you're one of his, you're going to come. Amen. He looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Boy, I tell you what, I never forget it. The day that Jesus Christ came into my life, came to me, showed me I was lost, showed me I needed to be saved. When he came to me that day and saved me, I remember the day very well that I received him joyfully. Boy, I was more than happy and glad for Jesus Christ to come into my life. Listen, he makes you willing in the day of his power. He made Zacchaeus willing in the day of his power. He received him joyfully. Do you have the faith of Zacchaeus tonight? Then come down this aisle tonight. Confess him right where you sit. Acknowledge him right where you sit tonight. Acknowledge him as your Savior. And come running down that aisle tonight. If you can come, you come. Never forget it. Long as I live, I guess. Referred to it several times. In fact, this little boy is a member of Brother Hancock's church at the present. I believe his name is Jason Brown. Little old redheaded boy. He little chubby fellow then. But I imagine he was about 10, 11, 12 years old. I preached one morning, gave the invitation, and here he come down that aisle just a boo-hooing. He come, grabbed me by the hand and hugged me and said, Brother Jones, I come this morning acknowledging, repenting of my sins, acknowledging Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he says, I'm saved, and I want to be baptized, and I want to be a member of this church. You say, Brother Jones, you get him down in the pew or in the altar and pray with him? Why, no. He said, I come repenting of my sins and putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, that's the way it works. Verse 7, he's willing to confess all of his sins. Now, I want to hurriedly go to another one real quick here. Jesus heard the Samaritan woman. Jesus heard the Samaritan woman. There in the book of John chapter 4, you're all familiar with the story there. When Jesus Christ gave her that living water. And let me say this, once you receive that living water that only the Lord can give, you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again for salvation. Once you have received that spiritual water that the Lord can give, that living water that He can give, you'll never thirst again that living water satisfies forever. And then we see Lydia in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I'd like to read one verse there. Acts chapter 16. Verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were preached of Paul. And is that right? Which was spoken of Paul. Paul preached the word of God to her. He preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to her. The Lord opened a heart. And when the Lord opened the heart, then she attended unto the things that Paul had spoken unto her. That's exactly the way it works. That's the way it has always worked. And that's the way that it'll continue to work. I heard for years and years and years and years and years, why don't you open up your heart and let Jesus come in? Listen, if you can open it, you can close it. Now, am I right or wrong? And so Jesus opened her heart. And then she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Sinner friend, tonight, has the Lord opened your heart for the first time in your life? Do you feel that the Lord has opened your heart to where that you can attend and you can pay attention tonight and you're really hearing what this...
You're familiar with the question when he said, what must I do to be saved? You know, people ask the same question today. They think they've got to do something. Isn't that right? I tell you what, that was one thing that kept me from being saved. I thought I had to do something. I thought I had to go to church every Sunday. I thought I was going to have to give up this and give up that and do this and do that and everything else before I was saved. Before I could be saved. He said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if I had a message to preach tonight, that's the very message. If I had just a minute or two to preach, that's exactly what I'd say to you tonight, sinner friend. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then in the book of Luke chapter 18, we have the publican. And I hear him crying out tonight, God! God! Be merciful to me, a sinner! Oh, I can remember the day the Lord saved me by His grace. I can remember crying out to the Lord, oh Lord, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be saved. But oh God, if You will, oh please be merciful to me, a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I need to be saved. But oh God, forgive me of my sin of unbelief. Not receiving You as my Savior for all of these years and living a life of unbelief. Yeah. Oh God, be merciful to me. Listen, sinner friend, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, the Lord is nigh unto all of them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. Oh, sinner friend, call tonight. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Cry out to Him as the publican did. Cry out to Him as the Gadarene did. Come to Him tonight as Zacchaeus did. Confess Him tonight as the Philippian jailer did. He'll hear you.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus does hear sinners.
Yes, He does.
And as I said earlier, the Lord dealt with every single one of these personally.
Amen.
And that's the way He's going to deal with you tonight.
Right.
He's going to deal with you individually.
Right.
Sinner friend, the question is not the sin question. The sin question has already been settled. Sinner friend, tonight, the question is the Son question. Jesus Christ is the one that went to the cross of Calvary and He suffered and He died there on the cross of Calvary. He suffered all of the mockery. He suffered all of the humiliation for you, that you might be saved by the grace of God tonight. He was buried and He arose again the third day, and He's sitting at the right hand of God right this very moment to make intercession. Listen tonight, sinner friend, if you can call on Him right now. If you can cry out to Him, sinner friend, cry out to Him right now. If you can come tonight, come right now. If you can confess Him right now. Baptize.